It's time for Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.
Well, good morning, folks. It's your old buddy Luke Clayton, and welcome to our weekly outdoor show here on KETR. We've been doing this for, gosh, I think over 6 years, maybe seven, but every Saturday we have the unique opportunity to visit with everybody and to talk about hunting and fishing and stuff that we all love to do. And I usually try to get an interesting guest with us, and by golly, today I have a very interesting guest, Mr. James Lynch with Wireless Traps. Now, James is an expert hog trapper, but he has a great deal of knowledge because of the electronics that these traps have. They installs cameras, and they are automatically sent the images that's around the trap. So he's got a lot of these to look at, and you can learn a great deal by monitoring the cameras. So let's talk about hog trapping today with somebody that knows a whole bunch about it. James, thank you, sir, for spending some time and sharing some knowledge with us.
Well, Luke, thank you for having me. I appreciate it very much.
It's hog trapping. We've talked about hog trapping on our show. It's been a long time since we have. But hog trapping in the modern age is way different than it used to be, isn't it?
It sure is. It's definitely a whole different world today than where we came from with box traps and things of that nature.
Yeah, and if you go back to the history of mankind, way back in the day, hundreds of years ago, they were trapping wild hogs, pits in the ground, and any way to get those hogs on the campfire later, you know. But would you describe the premise of the electronic trapping, how it works? Just start off with, from your cell phone, how the pictures are relayed to you. And then you really have the control button there on your cell phone to drop the gate whenever you want to, don't you?
That's absolutely right. There's a motion sensor that detects motion that triggers the camera to take a picture, and then you set up your cell phone and actually a few buddies' cell phone numbers, and they can also get notifications of what's going on, and you can get pictures to see how many are in your trap, and from there make a decision to take additional pictures, or with our app, you can close the gate as well to capture as many as you'd like or not to trap.
You bet. And folks, James hooked me up via cell phone here a couple of weeks ago, and I've had the privilege of watching one of his traps. And it's kind of fun, James, that a couple of times I've actually been out in the woods close to my house here. There's very often there's a huntable number of hogs within a mile of where I live, and you know they come and they go, but I'd be sitting out there watching, getting those images coming in about dark, and I'd say, okay, it's time for my hogs to move, and at a couple of times I've actually had that happen. So if we ever as hunters can figure out what makes game move, we would have the answer to a big question. You know, why does game move at a certain time? The trapping, the monitoring of all the traps, is there a moon phase, or is there any particular time of the month that you can determine that you think that they move better? Do you think that's a key?
Yeah, I absolutely think that the moon is a very significant factor in their patterns, and for the daytime hunter, I'd say 3 days before and 3 days after a full moon phase, you have early evening and later into the morning daytime activity for hogs around the feeders. We see quite often a lot of daytime activity, and you will see that pattern throughout many different locations and traps across Texas, of course, and all over the United States, which is quite interesting to see.
Oh, it is. So a couple of 3 days before and after the full moon. Okay.
That's right.
Now, the full moon itself, we can see better. Hogs operate on their nose a lot. I know that. But the full moon itself is not necessarily prime. Is that right?
I would say that's right, in general, from what I've seen over time. But full moon is still a very good time to hunt, because depending on what phases we're in, and I'm not sure why, they're more active in some full moons than others, but it's definitely a time that generates more hog activity or more animal activity in general.
I've had different takes or different opinions on that, but you know, because you've watched. In other words, a full moon in a couple of days just before or just after, which is a bright night, right? I mean, that's what we're saying.
It is.
It's a bright night, so that's good for hog hunting at night.
Yeah, at night and during the day, you see some more day activity. Sometimes in the middle of the day, you'll see the activity. Not, you know, I think a lot of us have gotten into a pattern where you hunt the same times quite often. I know growing up, kind of for us, it was that way. But sometimes you have to change it up and sleep in and drink a little extra coffee.
Yeah,
and then hunt the middle of the day if you're a daytime hunter.
That, and I've watched that with cameras. Actually, I have a camera that when we wrap up our show, I'm going to go down and check. I've been up in Saskatchewan for a week. Well, not a whole week, but 5 days, and then I was gone almost a week up there fishing. And I left my camera, had my feeder all filled up and pouring a lot of corn out. So I'm very, very anxious to get down there and pull that SD card and see what's going on. James, when we're talking about bringing hogs into a trap, tell us a little bit about the best. Say you set a trap up for the first time. Okay, let's talk about, or let you talk about, what you're looking for. Now, I think all of us know that if you, down here by my house, it's probably 250 acres, but if you walk, there's a trail through the whole thing, you might randomly see a hog rooting here and one there, but I know that's a traveling hog that just happened to see some black dewberry bushes over there, and he thought he'd root around, you know. That's not necessarily indicative of a concentration of hogs right there, is it?
That's absolutely right. It's, you know, in general, just like whether you're deer hunting or hog hunting, you follow the main corridors and natural bottlenecks in topography and things of that nature, and find where they really funnel in is be typically the best place to set up. And then from there, the next step, I would say, really is to bait heavily and with shelled corn or yellow corn, and make it very visible to them, and be certain that there's enough for all of them to eat. When you're trying to capture larger groups, they can consume quite a bit of corn quite quickly.
They can. Say an area that we all have corn feeders, and you know, you can distribute a lot of corn by setting your feeder to run longer, but you also have to keep it stocked a lot more. I've had some success, you know, by setting the feeder to run, say, 5 seconds, and it puts out a lot of corn, but of course they can get in there and scarf it up pretty quick too. So,
absolutely.
But you think it's a good idea, even when in a hunting for hogs, hunting situation, I've known guys to take a 50-pound bag of corn around their feeders and just distribute it out, spread it out. And it makes sense that if there's a group of hogs come in, that it would keep them there longer. So baiting heavily is a good thing, right?
That's absolutely right. And separating the piles or even rows of corn a little, if you will, when you pour it out, where it's a nice heavy line of corn around the feeder, it really helps to contain them. And I find that it keeps them occupied in an area instead of frantically feeding on scattered corn from a feeder, which I think is great for an attractant. And it's also great for the noise, training them to come to the location where your feeder is and where you'd like to hunt. But having that additional corn allows those hogs to separate and spend additional time there at the trap and not fighting one another over a kernel here and a kernel there. It makes a difference.
And if actually, if you were hunting, which I do a lot of, you know, those isolated kernels scattered around, they're usually on the move, you know, you know, running from one to the other, slapping each other with their nose and, you know, their snouts. Well, that makes a lot of sense, too, to give them enough to keep them there. And a lot of times when I'm actually hunting over a feeder, I'll take some extra corn and put it out. Do you think it's a good idea or a bad idea when you get to your, say you're hunting a feeder, James? We're a little bit away from trapping right now, but say you're hunting a particular feeder. The worst thing I think you can do is walk up underneath that feeder and start spinning that spinner plate, because you are leaving a lot of scent on the ground. But what do you think about, say, taking something and scattering corn, throw it up under there or something? Do you think it does more, might do more harm than good, just when you even get close to that feeder before a hunt?
You know, it varies, Luke, according to how much these hogs are hunted. But I think it's a good idea to be close, but doing the best that you can to keep you know, your scent away from the feeder, and pour corn around there and have, you know, boots on and those kinds of things, the normal precautions you would take. And pour heavy visible corn is a very effective tool. And of course, if you're hunting or trapping for a heavier, larger hog, maybe boars, of course, you've got to be even more cautious the way you handle things, because they get smart and, you know, they learn to pattern us, I tell you.
It's kind of ironic, but by the house here, I've in the last, since January, I've killed 5 hogs. Actually, I shot at one more, but I'm shooting a little .223, and I hit a weed or something, because, I mean, it was anybody can miss, but this hog was standing 45 yards, and I had a perfect sight picture at night, you know, using the Photon XT. Digital night scopes. I mean, he was so close I couldn't have missed him, but I deflected my bullet. But what I'm getting at is the hogs that I have killed have all been, without exception, lone boar, you know, coming through. Now, I have, a couple weeks ago, I saw a sow with pigs, and I think she's living. There's a heavy trail coming out of a slough straight up to that feeder, so I think, if I play my cards right, I can possibly get about a smaller, it looks like these pigs are maybe 30, 40 pounds, which is fine for me to barbecue. So, but it's ironic, those boar do have a tendency to travel and be on the move a lot, don't they?
They absolutely do. They are always hunting for the next, I'd like to say, pretty lady sow somewhere that's ready to be bred. So
you bet. We've got about another minute, but I want to, for our listeners, James, I'd like them, that people that want to learn more about trapping and especially the state-of-the-art wireless trapping, I think it's wirelesstraps.com, right? There's some good information there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yep, wirelesstraps.com. And folks, what we'll do, we'll put that on the website, so you can, if you want to learn more about catching hogs on your place or whatever, we'll put a link to wirelesstraps.com. And through there, James, they can contact you and learn more about it, can't they?
That's absolutely right.
Well, I sure do appreciate you being with us. And, you know, in the future here, maybe not too distant future, I'd like to get you back and let's talk some more. Hog trapping and hog hunting to me is all about the same. You've got to know something about hogs to trap them or shoot them. So we'll pick your brain and learn some more tips from you pretty soon. How about it?
Sounds great to me, Luke. Thank you very much for having me.
Folks, this is Luke Clayton, and thank you so much for tuning in to today's show. Remember, you can listen to the archive of our shows at ketr.org. Today's show was made possible by the Dallas Safari Club, Smokin' Tex Electric Smokers, Air Force Air Guns, Darton Archery, Snaplock Hunting Blinds, Pyramid Air, Sightmark, maker of the Photon XT, and Catfish Bubblegum.
Luke Clayton has been addicted to everything outdoors since his childhood. He grew up hunting and fishing in rural Northeast Texas. Luke pens a weekly newspaper column that appears in over 50 newspapers. For videos, archived newspaper articles, and more information, visit catfishradio.com. This has been Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.